Have you ever noticed that the dolls on the toy market are geared towards fashion and beauty over any other qualities that might be true for a young girl? My guest, Jodi Bondi Norgard, discovered this on a routine trip to buy a birthday gift for her daughter's friend, only to find sexy dolls that didn't really represent her young daughter. Jodi found this gap in the market and designed dolls that represented real-life girls. Listen in to hear her journey of bringing her dolls to life while being told over and over there wasn't room for them on store shelves. Jodi is an activist and a trailblazer on gender equality and author of More Than a Doll: How Creating a Sports Doll Turned into a Fight to End Gender Stereotypes. Join us for this inspiring episode.
Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation.
Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. I'm excited that you are here with us today. I'm sitting with Jodi Bondi Norgard, and she is an entrepreneur, author, and a speaker dedicated to breaking gender stereotypes and promoting equality. Such beautiful work. She created the award-winning GoGo Sports Girls line to inspire confidence and healthy play among girls. Her advocacy extended to the policy level, serving on the Biden administration White House Gender Policy Council to influence initiatives on children's toys, publishing, and content. Featured in outlets like the Today Show and Forbes, she's recognized as a leader in gender equality. She is a sought-after speaker. She contributes to Ms. Magazine and delivered a TEDx talk on entrepreneurship and gender equality, and has just published the book, More Than a Doll, How Creating a Sports Doll Turned into a Fight to End Gender Stereotypes. So a big hearty welcome to you, Jodi.
Oh, thanks, Maureen. I'm excited to talk to you today. This will be great.
I'm so excited. You and I just met 4 days ago at a stop on your book tour. So I was invited, you know, the week before, and I thought, like, that sounds really fascinating, and I want to go find more because it's not a conversation I'm always actively in, and it's a conversation that's being invited for us to actively engage in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a big welcome to you and congratulations on the book getting published.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been a long road, but super exciting and fun.
Yeah. You know, when you think about the book, what were the origin points to it? How did it come into fruition?
You know, there were so many things that led up to this, and I know we're going to get into, you know, my story and how it all started, but I realized I've been doing this since 2006, so that would be almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And when I had my aha moment, but I have seen in my life how there are certain things that hold women and girls back. Gender stereotypes that are fueled not just by toys, but by media, by the clothing that is marketed to girls. And then when I brought my toy product, a sports doll, to market after realizing there were 75 brands of toys or of fashion dolls on the market, I knew that there was a need for this. But it wasn't just the reluctant toy buyers that were keeping them off the toy store shelves. It was our patriarchal culture that mm-hmm. just continued to reinforce and fuel these gender stereotypes at a very young age. So that's when I knew that my journey was more than a doll. It wasn't about the doll. I wasn't in the business, the toy business. I was in the business of social change.
Wow. And so I think you remarked the other day when I met you that you had a corporate career prior to the creating GoGo Sports. Is that right?
Yes and no. I mean, I did right out of college. I worked for the Ritz-Carlton for, you know, quite a few years. And then I started my first business.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was, you know, my first entrepreneurial endeavor. And it was a gift basket business working with a lot of women with homemade baked goods. Oprah became my biggest client. I
Wow.
eventually sold that. I know, it was so fun. And I had, once I had my third child, I decided to sell the business and I stayed home for a couple of years. And then
Okay.
he went to kindergarten. I thought, my goodness, what am I going to do now? And then I had my aha moment.
It came to you, the
It
universe.
came to me. Yeah, it came to me clearly.
So do you feel like you were a person that prior to kind of discovering this new life's path that was unfolding, that you may have been aware of a patriarchal culture, but then when you started going down your discovery and your investigation, that it was like, wow, this is way bigger than I had ever known?
I think all of us, I mean, it's just human nature. We just go along with life because this is just how it's always been. This is just the way it is. And, you know, one of my first realizations, and I think this really set me on my trajectory, my path, is when I was 9 years old and I was really excited to watch The Battle of the Sexes with Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. So Bobby Riggs challenges, he's 50 some years old. He challenges the number one female tennis player in the world at the time, Billie Jean King, who was 29. So, you know, it's all this, you know, big to do. And I was very excited to watch because I, like I said, I was 9 years old. I was really loved tennis. And I sat down with my dad and I said, Dad, I just really can't wait to see Billy kick Bobby's butt. And he looked at me and he's like, Jody, Billy's not going to win. And I said, what do you mean? He said, a woman can't beat a man. And I was shocked. You know, I was shocked. Billy went on to win the first set. My dad said, he's going to turn it on now. He never did. She won the second. She won the third. And such, and became the champion of the Battle of the Sexes. But she even says to this day that I knew this was more important than tennis.
Yeah.
If I
Wow.
didn't win this match, it would set us back decades. So she
Wow.
knew that it was such an important match. And I remember telling my dad, you know, I'm like, see, a woman can beat a man.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting to me is that I realized that my dad, who was so sweet and so kind and always supported me, he had all this belief and support for me. But that same belief wasn't for 51% of the population. So I saw this throughout my life, how men supported women within their lives, their daughters, their sisters, their mothers, you know, their wives. But when it came to women in general, we still don't see
right.
that same support.
Yes, absolutely.
So
That's a,
it really
yeah.
kind of turned on a light bulb for me. And I started noticing throughout my life, these crazy inequalities of putting women down and just kind of like the whack-a-mole game. And I know every woman has experienced something like this. But, you know, when you just start to rise, somehow we get pushed back down. And a lot of it
absolutely.
For me was when I was younger, if I asked a question, it just really stuck with me, especially in junior high and high school. I had a few male teachers refer to me as a dumb blonde because I asked a question that, in their opinion, wasn't a very good question. And maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But the laughter, you know, what it did is that leaders gave permission to the other students to laugh and then point fingers and say, okay, we're going to refer to her as a dumb blonde. So it really quieted me. It
Okay.
really made me think twice about speaking up and raising my hand and feeling more comfortable on the sidelines.
Absolutely. Well, I'm thinking of that your 9-year-old self with your, you know, the story of the tennis match and just you coming out as sort of the victor with that hand on the hip. You were almost like the prototype for the doll that was
yeah,
of the of the future.
I know, and I had my tennis racket at hand. I remember
yes.
that. I was like, I am out of here. I love that match.
Yeah, it's so great because I love to see, like, that's one of the reasons, and I don't know about you, because you said the other day you love collecting women's stories and hearing women's stories. And I think we see each other in those stories for sure. But it's always fun to see the through lines of like, oh, wow, that event way back then actually was significant. It was not just standalone. It all is in this weaving of the tapestry that becomes your life. So
yeah.
That's so, so beautiful. And, you know, when you spoke the other day on the book tour, I was thinking a lot about that cultural conditioning and how I think about it a lot in my coaching career and just what I've been learning in the last 5, 6 years, I never really knew how conditioned, or let's just say that I was. I remember saying, even 10 years ago, I didn't think that advertising affected me. I thought like marketing doesn't really affect me. Well, I just wasn't aware of the degree to which it was. And so that was in my naivete before I started to really learn. But the cultural conditioning to me is always so fascinating because it is so, so layered. And so if we have these experiences and they happen to us on a daily basis, they can be pretty dense to kind of like crawl through to learn the truth about who we really are.
Right. Well, if you start hearing things over and over and over, like, you know, girls aren't good in science, girls aren't good in math. You start hearing this over and over, you're like, well, maybe there's some truth to it, right? You're told this so often, or, you know, to me, oh, you asked a bad question because you're blonde. You asked a bad question because you're blonde. You're a dumb blonde, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, gosh, maybe I am, you know, maybe right. There's truth to that. So it is that cultural conditioning that keeps women silent.
Yes. And not only, I want to get into the creation of your company and the doll and some of with that, but what I was really struck by too, and what I can only imagine is what has come through the work you're doing is bringing the conversations and having women open up, not only to you, but to each other, because you ignite the questions and the offering and like, what about this? And have you ever considered that? And then that's how we heal too.
Yes, exactly. And that's how we become aware of what is happening. And I know I said this the other day, but I truly believe that for half my life, I went through it with these blinders on. Like, okay, it's just this way. You know, I have to work harder. I have to buck up. It's something about me. I have to get stronger. I need to fit in.
Yeah.
I feel like this all the time. And we have the self-help classes, the self-help books, blah, 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 blah. We need to realize that we're not broken. It's our system that's broken and our culture that needs to be fixed. You know, we do so much and we multitask so much. And women are, I mean, quite frankly, amazing what I have seen in my lifetime and what women can do and handle. And it's very interesting because Warren Buffett once said in his documentary, Becoming Warren, which is really a good documentary, by the way, he said, look at what our country has accomplished using half its talent and imagine what we could accomplish if we pulled women off the sidelines. It's so true. It is so true.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me somewhat about how go-go sports started.
Oh, well, when my daughter was 9 years old, she had just gotten done playing soccer. So she had on her soccer uniform and her cleats and her shin guards and her face is all rosy from exertion and crazy messy pigtails. And I tell you that, you know, and your listeners, because she looked like a normal kid on a Saturday afternoon at the age of 9. And so I had a panicky parenting moment when we needed to go to the toy store very quickly right after soccer because she needed a wrapped birthday gift for a party she was attending in 30 minutes. Every parent knows those moments very well. So we're going up and down the aisle when a line of dolls just stopped me in my tracks. They had on short skirts, crop top, belly button ring, big hair, lots of makeup. I look at my daughter. I look at these dolls. I pick up one of the dolls. And the name on the hang tag is Lovely Lola. Well, I had to buy Lovely Lola because I was so out of my mind. But there was also Cute Candy and Dazzling Destiny and Sizzling Sue. And they all looked like this. And I just had a complete meltdown in the toy store as I'm telling the salespeople, you should not be marketing sex to girls. So I brought the doll home to show my husband because I told him, I'm like, seriously, I am sick and tired of these negative images that are marketed to girls. I think I can do something about it and create a positive image product for girls that encourages them to be healthy physically, mentally, and emotionally through sports and physical activity. So, I mean, I've always enjoyed sports. I've always saw the benefits of sports, not just physically, but mentally too. And my kids have always been into sports and my husband, we just really enjoy it. But there was one situation prior to meeting Lovely Lola that really clicked with me and made me realize that by the age of 6, 7, and 8, we start to market toys to boys that are associated with violence and aggression. And then to girls, we start to market toys that are associated with appearance and attractiveness. And I wanted to buy a science kit for the kids when my daughter was probably around 6, my older one was 8, and then my little guy was pretty little at the time. But I went into the toy store and saw that there were two aisles. I was immediately annoyed for one for a boy science aisle and another one for a girl science aisle. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, when did science become gender specific? But I go down the boy science aisle and I see a really cool volcano, the volcano where they're, the vinegar and baking soda is exploding. The boys have goggles on, lots of action. But I'm curious what's down the girl science aisle. Well, sure, you can be a scientist, but you can make your own fingernail polish, your own makeup, your own perfume, your own hair scrunchie, your own jewelry. Again, it all revolved around appearance. So, but at that time, I just pushed it aside because I didn't know what I could do to create change or make a difference. But it was certainly on my radar that this stuff was really, people have said to me, it's just a toy, it's just a t-shirt, it's just a book. It's not. It
Right.
all adds up. It all adds
Absolutely.
up.
Yeah. I think even with that story, so many of us can just have questions or see ourselves at those times. I remember being a young woman. It reminds me too. And I thought of the book the other day when you were talking. It was called Reviving Ophelia. And
Oh,
I think that book came out like pretty early, like I want to say early 90s or something. But I always remember the part that said that around even age 12, 13 is when girls sort of make a split from their really, I think, if I remember correctly, their essential self. But it's messages like these that can contribute to us believing, oh, I've got to look a certain way or be a certain way, and that end up, I think, as part of the causation for that split. We want to assure girls they're okay just the way they are, as they are.
But we put so much emphasis on appearance for girls. And in the one leader in the toy industry, she's been in it for she worked for Mattel, she worked for MGA, she worked for Nickelodeon, all the big companies. But she actually left the toy industry. She's like, I can't do it anymore. She's like, I am tired of the packaging of childhood. The toy industry packages childhood. And they have a responsibility to our children.
Wow, that's a huge statement
I
right
know,
there
it's a
to
very
leave.
huge statement.
So you're having these like really big aha moments coming to you through what you're seeing on store shelves and kind of, yeah, I can see you like, okay, wait a minute, this is adding up, but it's not adding up the way I want to have it add up.
Right, exactly. And going back to your point about, the girls around that age of 12 or 13. And it's so true that, their confidence actually starts to peak at around the age of 9. And then they start the need to feel, or act, conform to a way a girl should act, should feel, should look. And by the age of 5 is when those gender stereotypes really start to set in. And little girls start believing at that age that their gender can't do as much as a male gender. Like, how sad is that?
Very sad, very, very limiting. So then you get this brainchild, Jody, that you're going to create your own company.
I'm like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna have the next best thing. But it took 2 years from Rough Draft to the
Wow.
actual debut of Tennis Girl Gracie, which was at the
So cool.
2008 US Open. First sale, amazing, right? At least as a small business owner, I thought, who gets a sale for $500 dolls like that? And it took me 5 minutes and they placed an order so quickly. So they launched at the US Open in August of 2008 and they sold out in 6 days. And it was super exciting to have the USTA call me saying, we need more, we need more. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's all you ordered. That's all I have. I felt like I have the next best thing. And so my next goal was to launch a line of 9 dolls at the New York Toy Fair in February of 2009. So that is the biggest toy fair in the world, and people come from all over to see what the next best thing is. And again, I'm thinking, it's me. Like, this is going to be an amazing toy fair. I am just going to get so many orders, and it's just going to be great. Well, not so much. I had so many buyers come to my booth and tell me, I love your product. I love Soccer Girl. My daughter would love Soccer Girl. And I'd say, great. How many would you like to buy? And they'd always give me the hand and say, no. We're not going to buy it. It's never going to sell. Because ultimately, girls like fashion. Can you create a
Oh,
fashion?
wow.
Like, that's my point. As a
Yeah.
mother of a daughter and as a woman, I'm positive girls like more than fashion. And I'm also positive that with 75 lines of fashion dolls out there, we do not need any more fashion dolls.
No.
And I always like to say that I love fashion. I am not dissing fashion whatsoever,
Yeah.
but it doesn't define a person.
No.
It doesn't. I mean, it's
No.
so fun to dress up. It's so fun to, wear whatever you want, express your personality. I love designers who create, it's like artwork. It doesn't define a person at all.
And at that time, were there any other categories of dolls besides fashion dolls?
Nope, it was baby dolls and fashion dolls.
Okay. Yeah. So super limited. So you've been in the last 10 years, like you, I remember you saying at the book tour, it's like you kept on putting yourself out there, but running up to barriers that were not allowing this doll to really kind of go big.
I'd always have like all this excitement. I had a big excitement. My first one was from Target. Now I was invited up to their headquarters, which is actually kind of a big deal because you don't get invited to their headquarters in Minneapolis unless you have
Wow.
something they're really interested in. And they said, yeah, we're going to put them all in Target stores. And this was maybe 2 years after I launched the product, so around 2011. And or 2012, and I'm like, that is amazing. I
Yeah.
got into Target, and then it kind of went quiet. They got me set up, I was ready to go. I told my factory, I think it was like 35,000 was going to be my first order,
Wow.
and then they pulled it and said one person on their team didn't think it was a good idea,
Wow.
and that
Wow.
was it. It just takes one person to say no.
Yeah.
Was it. But, as sad as it was, I knew Target doesn't give that kind of, feedback, that nod to just any old product. So I continued moving forward. The media kept me going. So I saw this discrepancy in what I was seeing, hearing from the media, hearing from parents.
Yeah.
I was on the Today Show. They did a feature. I became part of, Gretchen Carlson's Female Power Panel. I was on New York Times, you name it, a Good Housekeeping.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable how much press I received, but I wasn't receiving the order. It just didn't make sense. I just really hung in there. I really hung in there for 5 long years.
Yeah, I was struck the other day when you were talking, and even now, that even though the dolls were not necessarily being picked up and then bought and come to fruition on store shelves, you were becoming an expert in the field of gender equality, inequality, and really building up that resume. So, do you look back at that point, like that time in your life, and see that now, like, wow, I was really becoming great at what I do? It wasn't just about the doll. Like, how do you feel about that now?
That's a really good question. I do look back, and I was really adamant. I just thought I'm not the type of person that thinks I'm right about, everything and
Yeah.
all. I like to learn. I get it. People have other opinions, and you can't know everything. But when it comes to gender equality, I'm 100% right. What's the argument? Why not? I mean,
Yeah, yeah.
what, tell me why. Why I shouldn't, you shouldn't, our daughters, why shouldn't women have the same, opportunities without barriers as men?
And I think that I can kind of sense, like, almost like that knowing of that truth for you allowed you to create everything you created, and it was almost like that laser-like focus. And sometimes I feel like that pull forward is almost like a magnet. It's like the thing you cannot not do, right? And so no matter what, you were going to find the way. And so is that how writing the book came, or were there other steps within trying to get the doll in the market that, or the set of dolls that you want to talk about before you get to like how I decided to write a book?
I did realize that, I was going to have to forge this path of social change before I had the
Okay.
dolls on the market, like mass in the market. But I also realized when I, started with the, Dream Big Toy Company and then the Go-Go Sports Girls, when I focused on sports, just doing my research and knowing that it is so positive in so many ways for all children to be involved in sports with leadership. improved academic achievements and healthy and positive body image. I mean, just the benefits of the team playing. And I just saw that how this is handed to boys very easily, and that it wasn't as easily handed to girls. I mean, we've gotten better in the last, 50 years for sure, but I just saw how sports creates this leadership, and how that leadership then extends into other areas of life, whether it's socially, whether it's family, whether it's academically, business, whether you go into sports, education, whatever you choose to do, right? It gives you great leadership skills.
Love that. So good.
So, yeah. So for the dolls, not to be on there is, and I always felt like people will ask, and I write about this, well, how can a doll make a change? And it's kind of like that, butterfly creating a hurricane, right? So it's just that one motion, just something so simple that could truly create a huge cultural change. And it's not that hard, so why not give it a try?
Oh, it's gorgeous. I mean, the work that you've been doing. I don't think you went back for the PhD, but everything you've learned along the way is equal to sitting in that class, that business school classroom of learning all of this. And it's all your life experience that is bringing you to where you are. And I love that concept of what's coming to me is that the patriarchal system is very dense, and it doesn't look like it at the current moment, but let's say that there is some loosening going on, but it's taken the work and the persistence and the constancy of what you're doing to be where you are now. You don't know, I don't know if you know exactly what the future is going to hold for you, because it feels like you're at a big turning point, like publishing this book, which is amazing.
Yes. Well, the reason I wrote the book is after 5 years and 500 no's, there is a portion of my journey that I should explain before moving on to the book. After, those 5 years, I was going to give Toy Fair one more shot. And if it didn't work out, I was just going to throw in the towel, but which just broke my heart. But I had to be realistic too. I just knew girls deserve more. But at that Toy Fair, I had a opportunity to pitch to three Walmart buyers, and I had 5 minutes. And after the 5 minutes, they said, "This is a winner. If you can write six books to go with six of the dolls, package them together, we'll put them in Walmart stores." So, I mean, that's really what got the ball rolling. And then by 2015, they hit Walmart stores, and then by 2016, that's when I started doing some work with the Obama administration on breaking down gender stereotypes in media and toys. And then I got into some capital issues just because my Walmart orders were getting so big. And I had an opportunity to sell my business. A big company wanted to acquire it. And I, of course, I said, okay. We worked for 18 months. And when part of the deal was I was going to go on the speaking tour and just speak all over the country, all over the world on the importance of gender equality to help with, the relaunch of the dolls. So they took all the products off the Walmart store shelves. They were working with Walmart. We were going to design hard body dolls because my dolls were, soft body rag dolls. After those 18 months and getting ready to launch, they got cold feet. They brought in two guys, and one of the guys said, "I just don't think we should do this. It's a true girl empowerment product, has never been done before, and we don't want to be the first." They didn't want to take the chance. So it was the best breakup ever, I guess you could say, just because they returned the intellectual property to me. So they didn't have to do that. So they did the right thing there. But I just realized that, we talk a good talk about the importance of empowering women and girls in our culture, but we cower and hesitate when it comes to implementation. Really, that's when my journey, I realized it was more than a doll. I need to get this out there. So, it took a while to write the book, and I had a great editor and agent and publisher, and all those things just happened. It's very difficult. It's hard. Somebody told me a statistic that said one in every 6,000 authors actually finds an agent. I'm like, oh, it's incredible. And so I am thrilled. And I ran out of my first print run 3 weeks before the launch date, which is a
That's
pretty
amazing.
amazing thing. Yeah, I was pretty excited about it.
And I was sharing with you that, my kids are all, they're 19 to 24, but my son was, he was a gender studies minor in college. I know that my daughter and even my son, I want, this is open for everybody, right? To kind of know about and to promote and begin having the conversations. So now that the book is published, you're on a book tour, and how has that been?
Oh, it's been so much fun. It's a lot. I mean,
I bet.
it's a lot, but I really
Yeah.
enjoy it. You know,
Yeah.
I think my message is very important. So as much as I can get it out there, I'm trying.
Yeah. And I feel like with all, when you're just sharing all the ups and downs that kind of happened during the 2010s almost, that how was it that you were able, would you kind of take a time out, or do you feel like you would just get back up and say, like, nope, I'll find another way? Like, what was it within you? Are you an optimist? Like, what is that?
I am a total optimist for sure, maybe to a fault, but I also had a good group of peers, right? Like people who surrounded me, my family, my friends, people I met within the toy industry. They, even when Walmart took my product, they said to me, "We are not making much money on this, but little girls need to see this on toy store shelves."
Amazing. Yeah.
And so, I mean, that kind of helped my author when she approached me. She called me and she
Yeah.
said, "I'm a mom of three young girls. I love the Go-Go Sports Girls. We have all of them. I would love to write books for you. I'm a children's book author." And I said, "Well, that's great. I love that idea." I said, "But there's a problem. I can't pay you." And she's like, "Oh gosh, don't worry about it. I just want to be part of the project." So, things like that were just
Yeah.
amazing. The woman
Yep,
created
absolutely.
all the apps for me. She said, "I'm doing this for you, no charge." She's
Yeah.
like, "Because my daughter needs to see this. Little girls need to see this."
Absolutely.
So it was just like this group of mainly women, but also a few good men that really helped me keep going because it
Yeah.
really was hard. I found that there were so many highs and lows and roadblocks, but I always thought, you know what? I can get around this roadblock.
It's absolutely amazing. I feel like a book too, just having the book, it's such a touch point, and it lives on. It lives on forever now that this is all in print, and it will grow and change. I was thinking it would be a great book for a book club because of all the different topics it can lead into.
Well, and I also have questions on my website for book groups, and
Oh, good.
I will, zoom in on any book group if they want me to,
That's
or if
fun.
we're local. I know you and I are in the Chicago area, so
Yeah.
I'm happy to pop in, to answer questions. So yeah.
What's been the exciting things that have come now that you've published it, and sort of feedback you're getting, or just like any kind of parts of the process that it's like, wow, this is kind of cool.
Well, the feedback has been overwhelming. I mean, people saying, "I woke up at 5 o'clock because I had to finish your book." Multiple
That's
people telling me that. Getting an email from a man I know who is pretty, a man of few words, writing me the most unbelievable email saying, "I learned so much, not just about you, but about me too. I am recommending this book to every man I know." And I'm like,
so cool. Oh my gosh.
wow, we need guys like you. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think things are opening up too. That's what, when I was sitting listening to you the other day, yes, there are roadblocks, but what do you see happening for gender equality? Are there steps being made in our society that are sort of opening things up?
Well, this is a hard one right now. And when I worked with the Gender Policy Council with the Biden administration, they were doing amazing things for women and girls. That department, once Trump got in, is no longer in place. So we don't have that anymore. We're going backwards for sure. In 2022, the World Economic Forum predicted that we were 130 years away from gender equality. Today, in 2024, when the last report came out, we are now 134 years away from gender equality. And the
Yeah.
United Nations considers the United States a backsliding to democracy. So yes, we
Yeah.
are going backwards. We have to dig deep. We cannot sit silent. We have to use our voices. We have to learn more about women doing great things and support each other. We've been told that there's, for years, for our whole lives, that there's going to be some guy that's going to save us or some
Yeah.
prince that's going to save us. It's not going to happen. We have to advocate for one another.
Absolutely. And it's often said that one of the things that came out of COVID was community and that desire for community. And so that, like, I'm just thinking that with the book, it's like, let's get together in these groups. Let's invite men into the conversation. Let's really kind of have it expand in that way, but that it can. Putting the intention out there and getting the book out there is great. And I'm so happy that you're going to so many different places to share because I know it's only going to grow.
I know. Just getting the word out there, as much as possible, and just, hey, I am used to beating the pavement. I am. This is way much easier than getting the dolls out there. Let me tell you.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So
Yes.
I know how to do this. I do, but I do want it to be, a book that everybody reads, and I know it's good, and I know it has a lot of facts to back everything that I've done up. So.
Absolutely. You shared the other day about a poem that you wrote at the end of the book. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that or possibly share
Sure, I have my copy here. I would love
it.
to share it because I think it's very timely right now for, women and men who need some
Yeah.
strength. I titled it, I Was Told. I was told I cannot be bold. Be bold, my dear, for you have so much to offer. I was told I cannot cry. Shed tears, my dear, for you are caring and kind. I was told I cannot climb trees. Climb high, my dear, for there is so much to see. I was told I cannot be strong. Dig deep, my dear, for you are fiercely brave. I was told I cannot be loud. Speak loudly, my dear, for the world needs to hear your voice. I was told I cannot stand. Stand tall, my dear, for you were born to lead.
It's beautiful. It makes me want to cry. It's like a
I
tears in my eyes. So
know.
beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I do believe that. And when I sent this to my editor, who actually studies poetry, I wanted to end my book with a poem. And I told her, I said, okay, I know, I wrote this, I just had this moment, and I just wrote it. I know I'm an amateur, and please, don't laugh at me, right? Because I didn't know what to expect. But no, she
Sure.
called me right away and said, this needs to be a children's book. She's like,
Wow.
it's beautiful. And so I expanded on it to, with different verses, and my agent just sent it out to publishers. So I'd love to see this in 2026 as a children's book.
I would too. I love it so much. And I can't, the day that I saw you on Sunday, went home that night, had a quiet Super Bowl night, and it does remind me of the Nike ads that were played that night. And I think it was a similar type of rhythm. Like I was told I couldn't do this and I'm doing it. And just over and over. And it was just like, wow. I mean, you've been onto something for a long time. In fact, you probably were a bit of the, what would they say, like on that leading edge when you began it all. And so, still, I don't even know if it's fighting the good fight. It's just following that truth line for yourself and bringing beauty and light to the world.
Trailblazing. I know my husband did say, at one point during, my career with the Go-Go Sports Girls, and he was right. He said, you know what? Your idea is so great, but maybe you're ahead of your time. And I thought, I didn't want that to be true, but I knew it to be true, and, all good ideas, I guess, as the saying goes, are ahead of their time. But it's silly that we need to fight for gender equality. But I'm sounding the siren that gender inequality doesn't start in our teens or in our 20s. It starts the moment a child picks up a toy, a book, or watch a screen. So I'm
Absolutely.
saying, let's look at the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is around the age of five.
Yeah, so it's such great information. Jody, as we kind of, round out the podcast time together, I always ask my guests these days if there's anything that's coming to your mind that we've left off the table that might be an important message to share. It could be to the younger generation, it could be to any of us really, but is anything coming through?
Yeah. Stay strong and stand tall. Seriously, we all have to dig very, very deep and believe in ourselves and believe in our guts. I truly believe that women have like such amazing intuition. Believe that.
Do it. Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for being here. What's the best place to find you or to reach you? Do you have a website?
It's Jodi Bondi Norgard. My books are on there. The Go Go Sports Girl books, it can be ordered on there as well.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for being with us today and just sharing your story and just such inspiration.
Oh, thanks for having me, Maureen. It's been so fun to see you
Yeah,
again.
I know, twice in 1 week. Thanks for the listeners for being here, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.